from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister says ocean is not our trash can. Indonesian President Joko Widodo condemns the Israeli airstrike in Gaza Strip, Palestine. Now the news in detail. A number of events of the Our Ocean Conference held from October 29 to 30 have been started by the implementation of the beach cleanup activity at the Kuta Beach, Bali. The event was carried out by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti, and several ambassadors from the neighborhood countries. As reported by news service of National Radio KBRN, Minister Retno Marsudi told that global and Indonesian societies must keep the cleanliness of Indonesian ocean from plastic waste. Retno Marsudi, during the event on Sunday, October 28, also remarked that the pollution caused by plastic waste is one of the challenges for Indonesian ocean. She affirmed that ocean is not a big trash can, but it has important roles for our future generations, so that it must be preserved. Meanwhile, Minister Susi Pujastuti said that Indonesian people must now throw plastic waste to the ocean, considering the critical stages of Indonesian ocean. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that he has heard the information regarding the damage of the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia due to the Israeli airstrike in Gaza Strip, Palestine, on Saturday, October 27, at local time. President Joko Widodo affirmed in Sidoarjo Regency, East Java, on Sunday that Indonesia condemns the attack.
Ya, kita tahu rumah sakit itu rusak.
Yes, we know that Indonesian hospital was damaged and Indonesia strongly condemns the Israeli airstrike on October 27. The attack did not only destroy our hospital, but it also damaged the surrounding area. Indonesia will always support Palestine in struggling for its independence. We will never surrender. A number of patients at the Indonesian hospital in Beit Lahia were immediately evacuated to safer place after the damage of the hospital. Currently, the situation in the surrounding area of the hospital has been conducive. As it has been reported previously, the missile attack done by Israel in the Gaza Strip on Saturday, October 27, at local time, was carried out in response to the Hamas rocket attack targeted to Israel. The rocket attack launched by the Hamas militant group was the greatest attack done by the Palestinian militant group since August 2018. The Indonesian Navy is sending warships to search for a crashed Lion airplane JT-610 in Tanjung Karawang waters on Monday morning. The aircraft flying from Jakarta to Pangkal Pinang lost contact about 15 minutes after taking off at 6:20 a.m. local time and was scheduled to arrive in Pangkal Pinang at 7:05 a.m. local time. The warships which are mobilized included Kri Tenggiri 865, Kri Rigel 933, Kri Sikuda 863. Navy spokesman Colonel M. Zainal said in a written statement on Monday, to detect the presence of objects in the water, the Navy mobilized a diverse team from 1st Fleet Command and Naval Base 3. The aircraft, which carries 189 passengers, was believed to have crashed around Tanjung Karawang waters. Before it lost contact, the airplane had asked for a permission to return to Jakarta due to a problem. The Indonesian authorities have set up a crisis center at the Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Cengkareng to deal with the accident. The 11th Indonesian Language Congress was held in Jakarta from October 28 to 31, 2018. The Congress selecting the theme Glorifying the Indonesian Language and Literature was participated in by 27 keynote speakers and 72 domestic and foreign paper presenters. Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi remarked at the pre-opening of the Congress on Sunday, October 28, that Indonesia has three vital assets which can foster the country to be an advanced nation if these assets are nurtured.
Bahwa aset terbesar dari bangsa ini, anugerah.
The first greatest asset and blessing of this nation is unity. The second one is peace, and the last one is brotherhood. If we can maintain these assets, surely we can achieve better progress and make our country an advanced one, a country which is dignified and equal to other great and prosperous nations. Furthermore, Muhajir Effendi said that every issue and problem that will threaten the peace and brotherhood spirit must be prevented and overcome so that they will not disintegrate our nation. Minister Muhajir further said that President Joko Widodo always reminds about the importance of establishing unity, peace and brotherhood. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi at the 11th Indonesian Language Congress launched a number of language and literature products such as Indonesian Language for Braille, Indonesian Language Book, Language Map, Online Indonesian Language Proficiency Test for Native Speakers. In addition, Minister Muhajir also gave a number of rewards such as the Adi Bahasa Award, Literary Award, Language Figure Award, the 2018 Language Ambassador Award, and the 2018 National Poetry Musicalization Festival. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met with Norwegian Foreign Affairs Minister Eriksen Søreide in a bid to discuss the optimization of cooperation in various fields, such as trade and investment. Based on the report from Antara, Minister Retno Marsudi said after the meeting in Nusa Dua Bali on Sunday that her side is committed to continuing and intensifying the cooperation in the two fields so that more trade and investment potentials can be improved. According to her, the cooperation with Norway gives positive development in the negotiation with the European Free Trade Association and the Central European Free Trade Agreement. The final negotiations between EFTA and CEFTA will provide new opportunity in the field of trade and investment for Indonesia. Currently, the trade values of both countries have reached $351.6 million. Indonesia exports a number of products such as textile, furniture, coffee, tea, and chocolate. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara hopes millennial generations can take part in fighting against hoaxes or false information. He assumed that millennial generations do not wish to hear about hoaxes. That was stated by Minister Rudiantara at the Millennial Fest event in Jakarta in commemoration of the Youth Pledge Day on Sunday, October 28. As quoted by Republika Online, Minister Rudiantara affirmed that Indonesia has a great task to complete by the millennial generations, namely how millennial generations encourage elder generations to filter the information they get. According to him, young generations can educate people who are easily influenced by hoaxes to check the validity of the information they receive. Government of Sleman Subdistrict Special Region of Yogyakarta is committed to promoting the culture and tourism potentials its region through a 2018 100-kilometer Tour de Prambanan event held on Sunday, October 28. The cycling activity placed its start and finish point in the Prambanan Temple area, Sleman Subdistrict. Subdistrict Head of Sleman, Sri Purnomo, stated that the event was held based on Sleman's local government's optimism in the potentials of the area's tourism sector. Sri Purnomo further said that cultural wealth and natural beauty in Sleman Subdistrict will be a special attraction for cyclists who participate in the event. He hoped that such activities can be carried out continuously so that the spirit of tourism in Sleman Subdistrict continues to increase. As quoted by Antara, head of the Sleman Subdistrict Tourism Office, Sudarningsih, said that Tour de Prambanan succeeded in attracting quite high public interest. The activity is also aimed at promoting Sleman as a sport tourism. This year's Tour de Prambanan carries the theme Sport and Tourism for a New Civilization. The participants will be competing in a 100-kilometer route around Sleman Subdistrict, and there are also special titles up for grabs this time around, namely the King and Queen of Mountain. The total prize contested is 100 million rupiah. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister says ocean is not our trash can. Indonesian President Joko Widodo condemns the Israeli airstrike in Gaza Strip, Palestine. That was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. For today's topic of commentary is Indonesian language, the language of unity to advance Indonesia. Indonesia commemorates the Language Day every October. The selection of October as the momentum of Language Day cannot be separated from the historical event on 28th of October 1928. At the time, Indonesian youth from various regions across the country held the Second Youth Congress in Jakarta from 27th to 28th of October 1928. The meeting produced a concession known as the Youth Pledge. One of the points in the Youth Pledge is respecting the language of unity of Indonesia, namely the Indonesian language. It should be noted that the Youth Pledge was initiated before the independence of Indonesia. However, the youth from the entire region in Indonesia courageously decided to choose Indonesian language as the language of unity of Indonesia. Minister of Education and Culture of Republic of Indonesia, Muhajir Effendi, remarked at the pre-opening of the 11th Indonesian Language Congress in Jakarta on last Sunday, 28th of October 2018, that language is a substantial element that establishes unity and integrity of a country. Indonesia is destined to own a language, namely the Indonesian language. Whereas Indonesian language was not supposed to be chosen as the national language considering the number of its speakers was not significant. but the awareness of respecting the language and the blessing from the God has made the Indonesian founding fathers choose Indonesian language over Malay language. Without realizing the importance of unity, they would have not chosen Indonesian language as the native language used in their daily conversation and government affairs. Indonesian language is an important factor that influences the journey of Indonesian nation. Talking about Indonesian language resembles talking about the Indonesian national identity that must be respected and prioritized, just like the essence of the 1928 Youth Pledge. The Indonesian founding fathers have realized the importance of maintaining unity and preventing the selfishness of each region in Indonesia by adopting Indonesian language as the national language. It is hard to imagine if each region in Indonesia keeps maintaining their selfishness by imposing their local languages to be the national language of Indonesia. Indonesia would have never had a unitary language. That's the behavior that must be preserved by Indonesian society in this era. As remarked by Minister Muhajir Effendi at the pre-opening of the 11th Language Congress in Jakarta, Indonesia has three major assets that can foster the country to be a great and advanced nation, if they can be maintained. The three assets comprise unity, peace, and brotherhood. Indonesian language as the language of unity is one of the ways to make Indonesia a glorious and advanced nation. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History through RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we begin from the first information on October 29, 1960, when Muhammad Ali won his first professional match. Muhammad Ali, with full name Cassius Marcellus Clay, Jr., was born in Louisville, Kentucky, United States of America. His name was similar to his father's name, which was Cassius Marcellus Clay, Sr. Ali later changed his name after joining the Nation of Islam, and eventually he converted to Sunni Islam in 1975. His career journey began in 1960. He won a gold medal in the light heavyweight category in the 1960 Olympic in Rome, Italy. Afterwards, on October 29, 1960, Muhammad Ali won his first debut in a professional match. He won six rounds against a boxer named Tony Hunsaker. Ali became the world heavyweight champion three times. The next information is about the World Stroke Day on 29th of October. 29th of October is celebrated as the World Stroke Day. The World Stroke Day was initiated by the World Health Organization, WHO, which brings us a message that stroke can be prevented and cured. Stroke is caused by the accumulation of stroke factors. Some stroke factors can be overcome, but some others cannot. The factors which cannot be overcome include age, sex, race, family history, and the previous stroke history. Men have higher risk of getting stroke compared to women. On October 2006, the World Health Organization collaborated with the International Stroke Society and the World Stroke Federation a bit to raise people's awareness of preventing stroke. We'll be right back. The last information is that on October 29, 1998, John Glenn became the oldest man to orbit the Earth after the Discovery space shuttle that brought him was launched. The U.S. astronaut as well as Senator John H. Glenn was the best U.S. man in the age of 77 who orbited the Earth and explored the space by Discovery space shuttle in a mission that took place from October 29 to November 7, 1998. So far, Glenn was the oldest man that had a space trip. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. The topic for today's in My Indonesia is Indonesia and Germany strengthen vocational cooperation. Well, listener, the governments of Indonesia and Germany keep collaborating to improve the quality of vocations to produce competitive human resources in the global era. This collaboration is in the form of a training program for advanced-level trainer candidates from the industrial world to train more vocational trainers. The main objective is to strengthen the vocational education system to produce young people who are competent and highly competitive according to the needs of the labor market. Industrie und Handelskammer, IHK, Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Trier from Germany provides training program including helping them prepare vocational education curricula that are in line with the needs and development of industrial sector. Deputy for Coordination of Creative Economy, Entrepreneurship Competitiveness of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises at the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Rudy Salahuddin, signs a declaration of cooperation between Indonesia and Germany with IHK CEO Trajant Glosker in Jakarta on last Wednesday. The event was attended by Head of Development Cooperation of the Embassy of the Republic of Germany, Rafael Tech, and Deputy Chairperson of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, for Manpower and Industrial Relations, Anton J. Supik. Rudy Salahuddin, as released by Kompas, hopes that the collaboration will improve the ability to perfect curriculum and teach vocational training. He also said that President Joko Widodo has set 2018 as momentum to prepare competent and productive human resources. Thus, the development of the quality of human capital, especially younger generation, has received serious attention in the allocation of the 2019 state budget. The collaboration with the trade CPI has been carried out in two phases, namely 2012 until 2015 and 2015 until 2018. In the third stage, the collaboration lasts 2018 until 2021. Its main target is to develop a strategy to synchronize the world of education and industry so that the younger generation is more competent and productive to be easily employed in the job market when graduating from vocational schools. In the previous collaboration, the trade CPI focused on training pedagogical skills of teachers in several vocational high schools to have the ability to teach students practice and theories on an ongoing basis. As for the next 3 years, TRI-CPI along with the government, KADIN Indonesia, and a number of partners will train the pedagogical capabilities of company workers to be able to educate vocational training participants according to the needs of the business world. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairperson of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN for Manpower and Industrial Relations, Anton J. Supit, appreciated President Joko Widodo, who chose vocation as a first strategy aspect to build strong human capital. He asked for the industrial world to support the large design of vocational training made by the coordinating minister for economy first, so that the vocational education and training will run according to the increasingly competitive job market needs. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. A number of events at the Our Ocean Conference held from October 29 to 30 have been started by the implementation of the beach cleanup activity at Kuta Beach, Bali. The event was carried out by Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti, and several ambassadors from the neighboring countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said that he has heard the information regarding the damage of the Indonesian hospital in Bait Lahia due to the Israeli airstrike in Gaza Strip, Palestine, on Saturday, October 27 at local time. President Joko Widodo affirmed in Sidoarjo Regency, East Java, that Indonesia condemns the attack. The Indonesian Navy is sending warships to search for a crashed Lion Air plane JT610 in Tanjung Karawang waters on Monday morning. The aircraft flying from Jakarta to Pangkal Pinang lost contact about 15 minutes after taking off at 6:20 a.m. local time and was scheduled to arrive in Pangkal Pinang at 7:05 a.m. local time. The 11th Indonesian Language Congress was held in Jakarta from October 28 to 31, 2018. The Congress selecting the theme, Glorifying the Indonesian Language and Literature, was participated in by 27 keynote speakers and 72 domestic and foreign paper presenters. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi met with Norwegian Foreign Affairs Minister Eriksen Søreide in a bid to discuss the optimization of cooperation in various fields, such as trade and investment. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Rudiantara hopes millennial generations can take part in fighting against hoaxes or false information. He assumed that millennial generations do not wish to hear about hoaxes. Government of Sleman Subdistrict Special Region of Yogyakarta is committed to promoting its regional culture and tourism potentials through a 2018 100-kilometer tour, the Prambanan event, held on Sunday. The cycling activity placed its start and finish points in the Prambanan Temple area, Sleman Subdistrict. That was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is Saturday World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will bring you a topic about the Chiang Sana Tourism Village in West Java. Stay tuned. Listeners, there are not many natural objects that we can explore in big cities. Most of the attractions in big cities are merely theme park, shopping centers, artificial park, and others. Therefore, people are keen on visiting other cities to enjoy their holidays. One of the destinations that we can explore is West Java Province. There are a lot of tourism objects offering natural ambience in this province. Most people from big cities like Jakarta, choose West Java province and the cities within the province as their holiday destination. One of the objects that we can explore here is the Chiang Sana Tourism Village. Listeners, the Chiang Sana Tourism Village is located in Gunung Putri Regency, Chiang Sana Sub-District, Bogor City, West Java Province. The tourism village offers tranquil, well-preserved, and different nuance from city life. This place is one of the most visited objects in West Java due to its strategic location from Jakarta. When you visit this tourism village, you will feel its resemblances with the villages abroad, particularly as if you are in Japan or China. Listeners, the Chiang Sana tourism object used to be known as Kampung China and Kampung Jepang, or the Chinese and Japanese villages. Later, the two objects merged into an object called the Chiang Sana Tourism Village. The tourism village does not only showcase the characteristics of China and Japan, but also it features some places with West Java nuance, such as the Arwana Lake and the Cibubur village. The Arwana Lake has a number of facilities such as playground and educational area, particularly for children. We can try various activities provided in this place, for example, planting trees and paddies, ploughing rice field, playing outbound, swimming, and fishing. In addition, kids can also have fun in the kids' corner. Meanwhile, the Cibubur village offers the atmosphere of local Indonesian villages. There are various types of villages inside the Cibubur village. For example, the traditional village, the pastime village, the family village, the Indonesian village, and many others. Listeners, the Chiang Sana Tourism Village is located not very far from the Chiang Sana Gate, which is the border connecting Cikeas, Gunung Putri, and Jati Asih, Bekasi. Visitors can use either private or public transportations to reach this destination from Jakarta. For those who would like to use private transportations from Jakarta, take the Jagorawi Toll Road and exit in the Cibubur Toll Gate. Meanwhile, those who would like to use public transportations, you can take the Trans-Jakarta bus from Kampung Rambutan bus station and take another public vehicle called Angkutan Umum or Angkot number 121 or 121A. Both numbers head to Cilengsi and Chiang Sana. Tourism villages are usually known as local residences possessing rich cultural and traditional nuances. Visitors do not have to pay when they visit them. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder about the Chiang Sana Tourism Village in West Java. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics.
to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation between RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is penggunaan kata penghubung bahwa, or in English, the use of conjunction that. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about penggunaan kata penghubung bahwa, or in English, the use of conjunction that. As usually, I'll say every sentence twice slowly, and you can follow after me. At Joko's house, Tony is watching news. Dinda then comes to join him.
Apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah mengalami kecelakaan?
Iya, aku tahu. Oh iya. Enda baru saja menelponku bahwa ayahnya baik-baik saja.
Wah, syukurlah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Kecelakaan. Kecelakaan in English, accident. Bahwa. Bahwa in English, that. Baru saja. Baru saja, just now. Memberitahu. Memberitahu, to inform. Apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah mengalami kecelakaan? Apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah mengalami kecelakaan? In English, do you know that Endah's father gets accident? Ya, aku tahu. Ya, aku tahu. In English, yes, I know. Endah baru saja menelponku bahwa ayahnya baik-baik saja. Endah baru saja menelponku bahwa ayahnya baik-baik saja. In English, Endah just called me that her father is fine. Syukurlah. Syukurlah in English, thankfully or thanks God. Dia mengira bahwa hari ini akan hujan. Dia mengira bahwa hari ini akan hujan. He or she predicted that today will rain. Saya tahu bahwa kamu sedang sakit. Saya tahu bahwa kamu sedang sakit. In English, I know that you are sick. In the conversation between Tony and Dinda, Tony said, apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah kecelakaan? Apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah kecelakaan? Tony uses the word bahwa to convey expression of the front part of a sentence and so as Dinda. She said, Endah baru saja menelponku bahwa ayahnya baik-baik saja. So, one of conjunctions which can be used to express part of sentences is bahwa or that. Let's follow some examples of the use of conjunctions in the sentences. Dia mengira bahwa hari ini akan hujan. In English, he or she predicted that today will rain. Endah memberitahuku bahwa ayahnya mengalami kecelakaan. Endah memberitahuku bahwa ayahnya mengalami kecelakaan. In English, Endah informed me that her father gets accident. Saya tahu bahwa kamu sedang sakit. Saya tahu bahwa kamu sedang sakit. I know that you are sick. Apakah kalian mendengar bahwa besok libur nasional? Apakah kalian mendengar bahwa besok libur nasional? Do you know that tomorrow is a national holiday? Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Apakah kamu tahu bahwa ayah Endah mengalami kecelakaan?
Iya, aku tahu. Oh iya, Endah baru saja menelponku bahwa ayahnya baik-baik saja.
Wah, syukurlah.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Today's edition, we invite you to enjoy Kroncong songs by Indonesian Kroncong singer Ismanto. Well, listener, as the opening of the segment, we'll listen to a Kroncong song called Sapu Tangan or Handkerchief by Ismanto.
Sapu tangan yang harum baunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Sapu tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku, pada masa dahulu berdua pertama bertemu. Penuh dengan rencana dan janji telah disetujui, meskipun bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati. Sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai puranku. karena kekasihku sekarang. Tinggalkan diriku, bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati. Sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai karena kekasihku sekarang. Tinggalkan diriku,
that was the song Sapu Tangan by Ismanto. The song tells about someone's memory in the past. The handkerchief given by the lover now becomes a lace. This song was composed by Gesang, an Indonesian kroncong maestro, with several other songs such as Kroncong Roda Dunia and Kroncong Si Piatu. Unfortunately, the three songs were not successfully famous among the music lovers at that time. After the Dutch left Indonesia in 1950, kroncong music got a major place among other types of music in Indonesia. Then came several legendary singers including Ismanto, Waljina, Esdarmanto, and Pink Astono. In the 1960s, kroncong music was influenced by the Javanese rhythm pioneered by Anjarani, through the song Yan Ing Tawang Ono Lintang, followed by Esdarmanto in a song Loro, Branta, and Ismanto. This rhythm then dominated kroncong music. As time goes by, kroncong finally experienced setback due to the impact of other musics, which is dominated by dangdut, pop, rock, and rock music. Well, listener, now we'll come to the next kroncong song entitled Sedap Malam by Ismanto.
setiap malam semerbak mentari. Merata rasa seluruh, menghambar wangi penuh bunga sedap malam, pujaan setiap insan. Merata rasa seluruh, mengharum mahunata. Terang cuaca, langit biru, bintang berkilauan menghiasi alam permai malam sunyi.
Just listen to the song Sedap Malam by Ismanto. It was an original Kroncong song, which tells about the beautiful of tuberose flower with its fragrance adorns the night. Ismanto was a Kroncong artist from Surakarta or Solo, Central Java. He was known as a musician, singer, as well as Kroncong and Javanese songwriter. Among the Kroncong songs, his work which is quite popular, including Kroncong Asli, Kroncong Setia Janjiku, Langgam Bimbang Hati, and Kroncong Jauh di Mata Dekat di Hati. Ismanto died in 1996 in his hometown, Surakarta. Listener, coming up next, we'll dedicate a song Kroncong Suci by Ismanto. The song will end today's edition of Music Corner. Enjoy the song and see you tomorrow in the next edition of Music Corner. Bye for now. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.